I read to you Psalm 74 verses 12 to 23. Yet God my King is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters on the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You split open springs and brooks. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day, yours also the night. You have established the heavenly lights and the sun. You have fixed all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs and a foolish people reviles your name. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have regard for the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. Do not forget the clamor of your foes, the uproar of those who rise against you, which goes up continually. We said that Psalm 73 dealt with a personal crisis of faith. It dealt with the age-old problem of why the righteous suffer while the ungodly seem to prosper. But then Psalm 74 moves to the national scene and focuses on the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 587 to 586 BC. And we said last time that the author was obviously not the same Asaph of David's day who wrote Psalm 73. The author was a namesake among his descendants because this destruction of Jerusalem and the temple happened years later. The fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple were horrible, terrible events that shook the faith of the people of Israel. And as he surveyed the situation, Asaph moves from despair to confidence, and in the end, he affirmed that all was not lost. In verses 1 to 11 of Psalm 74, which we looked into last Wednesday, Asaph sees the sanctuary destroyed and he feels the Lord's rejection of his people. The sanctuary destroyed. The Lord has rejected us. Verses 1 to 11. But then in verse 12, Asaph's perspective changed. He lifted his eyes up. He lifted his eyes by faith from the burning ruins to the throne in heaven. And then he receives a new perspective. You see, no matter how terrible the situation is, he knew that God was on his throne and that although Israel was chastised, God would finally deal with the enemy, the Babylonians, and he knew that the Lord was on the throne. The Lord reigns. We see that in verses 12 to 17. Then Asaph's thoughts move from God's throne to God's covenant with Israel. He knew that if Israel obeyed the statutes of the covenant, God would indeed bless Israel. So we see that in the third part of the psalm, his thoughts move to the covenant. The Lord remembers us. Verses 18 to 23. Now we looked up to verse 11 in our study last Wednesday. And today we will move on into the rest of the psalm. The throne. Asaph sees the throne. The Lord reigns. Verses 12 to 17. Psalm 74 verses 12 to 17. I read to you now from the New Living Translation. You, O God, are my King from ages past, bringing salvation to the earth. You split the sea by your strength and smashed the heads of the sea monsters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan and let the desert animals eat him. You caused the springs and streams to gush forth, and you dried up rivers that never run dry. Both day and night belong to you. You made the starlight and the sun. You set the boundaries of the earth, and you made both summer and winter. In verse 12 is the central verse of the psalm. It is the turning point in Asaph's experience. He lifted his eyes by faith from the ruins to the holy throne of God in the heavens, and Asaph receives a new perspective on the entire situation. Remember, the Asaph who wrote Psalm 73 also had a similar experience. Psalm 73 verse 17, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end." You see, no matter how discouraging his situation was, Asaph knew that God was still on the throne, and God had not abdicated his authority to the Babylonians. God had not abdicated his authority to the Babylonians. Remember, power belongs to God. Psalm 62 verse 11. "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God." Jeremiah, he also came to the same conclusion in Lamentations chapter 5 verse 19. "But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations." The word thou or you is the important pronoun in this paragraph. God brings salvations. The word actually there in the literal sense is in the plural. Salvations. God brings salvations on the earth. That means God brings deliverance in the lives of his people on the earth. Psalm 74 verse 12. "Yet God my King is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth." That word salvation is actually in the plural. God brings salvations on the earth. Psalm 44 verse 4. "You are my King, O God. Ordain salvation for Jacob." So Asaph reviewed the salvation works of God in the past. That's what he did in the psalm. You see, the Lord was the one who orchestrated Israel's exodus and the defeat of that monster, Egypt. Psalm 74, verse 13 and 14. "You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters on the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness." We read of the exodus from Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, right up to chapter 15. "And the Lord struck the firstborn of the Egyptians in judgment, and he rescued the children of Israel." Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. "On that night I will pass through the land of Egypt. I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying." You see the deliverance. Then he goes on to say, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt." Exodus chapter 12 verse 23. "For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down." Again, we see in Exodus chapter 12, verses 29 to 30. "And that night at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died." When they left Egypt, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 to 22, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Then we see in Exodus 14 verses 8 to 9, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi Hahiroth, across from Baal Zephon. Exodus 14 verses 13 to 31. But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today." In other words, watch how God is going to deliver you. Watch the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they will charge in after the Israelites." They will charge in after the Israelites. "My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord." Then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, the walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. "Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. You see, power belongs to God. He has not abdicated his authority to the Babylonians. That is what Asaph discovers. In Psalm 74, he writes it. Then God provided water for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Psalm 74 verse 15. "You split open springs and brooks. You dried up ever flowing streams." God told Moses in Exodus 17:6, "I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink." So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Asaph the psalm writer, he knew all this. And he knew that the Lord was seated on the throne and power belongs to God. God later again provided the Israelites with water, although Moses struck the rock when he was told to speak to the rock. Numbers chapter 20 verses 8 to 13. You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. Listen, you rebels, he shouted. Must we bring you water from this rock? Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them. This place was known as the waters of Meribah, which means arguing, because there the people of Israel argued with the Lord, and there he demonstrated his holiness among them. Then we find the Lord opening up the Jordan River so the Israelites could enter Canaan. Asaph writes of that, Psalm 74 verse 15, you dried up ever-flowing streams. Joshua chapter 3 verses 9 to 17. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites and Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the ark of the covenant which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth will lead you across the Jordan River. Now, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the river bed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the river bed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. So Asaph knew all of this. And he knew the Lord is seated on the throne and he is in control. Asaph even reached back to God's work in creation. In verse 16, in Psalm 74 verse 16, he says, yours is the day, yours also the night. You have established the heavenly lights and the sun. Psalm 136 verses 7 to 9. Psalm 136 verses 7 to 9. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Then Asaph spoke about the assignment of territory to the nations. In Psalm 74 verse 17 he says, you have fixed all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. You see, God is in control. He is the Lord and power belongs to him. Acts chapter 17 verse 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty King. So, when the outlook is bleak, what must we do? We must make the uplook. We must make the uplook. That's what Asaph did. Asaph looked up. He saw God's throne. And then he remembered the covenant. The covenant. The Lord remembers us. Verses 18 to 23. Psalm 74 verses 18 to 23. See how these enemies insult you, Lord. A foolish nation has dishonored your name. Don't let these wild beasts destroy your turtle doves. He's speaking about Babylonian, about the Babylonian Empire that has come against, that has destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. So Asaph is saying, don't forget your suffering people forever. Remember your covenant promises, for the land is full of darkness and violence. Don't let the downtrodden be humiliated again. Instead, let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, and defend your cause. Remember how these fools insult you all day long. Don't overlook what your enemies have said or their growing uproar. Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Now, since righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, it was logical for Asaph to move in his thoughts from God's throne to God's covenant with Israel. And we find God's covenant with Israel in Leviticus chapter 26 and in Deuteronomy chapters 28 to 30. And Asaph knew the terms of the covenant. If Israel obeyed the Lord, God would bless them. If they disobeyed, God would chasten them. If they confessed their sins, He would forgive them. If the Babylonians were mocking the Lord as they destroyed the city and the temple, remember, the Jews also had mocked the prophets that God had sent to them to turn them from their idolatry. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verse 16. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising His words and scoffing at His prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against His people, until there was no remedy. Israel had not honored God's name, but had turned the temple into a den of thieves. Jeremiah 7 verse 11. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. So Asaph saw the nation as a defenseless dove that had no way of escape. That's how he saw the nation. A defenseless dove that had no way of escape. Psalm 74 verse 19. So he cries out. Psalm 74 verse 19. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Had the kings and leaders listened to their prophets and led the nation back to the Lord, all this carnage and destruction would have been completely averted. But the Lord was paying attention to His covenant. That was why He was chastening His people. Asaph was concerned about the glory of God's name and the survival of God's people. It was God's cause that was uppermost in his mind. The prophet Jeremiah had preached about the dependability of God's covenant. The dependability of God's covenant. Jeremiah chapter 33 verses 19 to 26. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night will not come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David my servant may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and my covenant with the Levitical priests my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered and the sands of the sea cannot be measured, so I will multiply the offspring of David, my servant, and the Levitical priests who minister to me. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Have you not observed that these people are saying the Lord has rejected the two clans that he chose? Thus they have despised my people so that they are no longer a nation in their sight. Thus says the Lord. If I have not established my covenant with day and night and the fixed order of heaven and earth, then I will reject the offspring of Jacob and David. My servant will not choose one of his offspring to rule over the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will restore their fortunes and will have mercy on them. You see, God's covenant can be entirely dependent on. God's covenant can be completely depended on. That's what Jeremiah was saying. Because God will fulfill His covenant. Asaph was asking God to fulfill His purposes for the nation of Israel. The nation had been ravaged, the city of Jerusalem had been wrecked, and the temple had been destroyed and burned. But the essentials had not been touched by the enemy. The nation still had Jehovah God as their God. He was on the throne. His word and his covenant had not been changed. And Jehovah was at work in the world. You see, God is at work in our world today. And we need not despair. Although we see so much of confusion and chaos and all kinds of evil all around us and bloodshed and violence, we see all of that happening, wars and rumors of wars, all this taking place. But remember, God is at work in our world today. So don't despair. Psalm 74 verse 12. Yet God my King is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. That's the assurance that you and I have. Remember that Asaph wrote those words after surveying the destruction that the Babylonians had caused in Jerusalem and the temple. In verses 1 to 11, remember he looked around and he saw perpetual desolations. That's what he says. In Psalm 74 verse 3, direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. He saw the enemy had wrecked the sanctuary of God. The Babylonians had removed God's banners and they had set up their own banners. Psalm 74 verse 4. Your foes have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their own signs for signs. All the beauty, all the splendor had gone up in smoke. Burnt. When you look around and see the enemy's destructive influence, remember Psalm 74 verse 12. Yet God my King is from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. His kingdom purposes on earth will be established. His kingdom will come upon the earth. And God is working in and through you and me who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill his kingdom purposes on earth. Yes, in verse 12, Asaph stopped looking around. That's what happened. In verse 12, he looked up. He realized that God was on the throne. You see, at times we too cry, how long, O Lord, how long? Why are these things happening to me? Why don't you do something? Now we know why God permitted the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and the temple. The spiritual leaders of the people had led the nation into idolatry and blasphemy, and so God disciplined them. Asaph looked up and said, God is King. He has never failed. And he is working salvation. The enemy may be working destruction, but my God is King and he is working salvation in the midst of the earth. Asaph also had a third encouragement. He remembered what God had done in the past. We looked at that from verses 13 to 23 in the Psalm. How God divided the Red Sea. How he destroyed the armies that attacked his people. He led his people through the wilderness. He opened the rock and provided the water. He dried up the rivers. Verse 16 is lovely. Psalm 74 verse 16. Yours is the day, yours also the night. You see, we like the day, but not the night. Remember, God controls the night as well as the day. Asaph was going through a night experience. He was going through a night season in his soul as he saw everything around him was falling apart. What was his solution? One word. Trust. Trust. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Psalm 74 verse 12. And that is what you and I must be conscious about. And that's what we must be involved in. We must be involved in the work of his kingdom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. He is working his kingdom purposes on earth. And he wants us, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to cooperate with him so that his purposes can be fulfilled on earth through us. Now, has the enemy been doing his destructive work in your life? Lay hold of this psalm, because God is on the throne. He is the one who will deliver you. He is faithful to act as he has done in the past for you. So fear not. Start by acknowledging his control in your life. Repent of every known sin. Receive the forgiveness. by the blood of Jesus. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to strengthen you in your innermost being. And courageously place your trust in Him. Place your trust in Him. What will He do? He will empower you by His Spirit. He will strengthen you by His Spirit in your innermost being. And He will fight your battles. Fear not. Simply trust. Let's bow our heads in prayer.